Helen Bick at her place of business, Bick Brothers and Company, 532 River City Mall, on May 4th, 1977. Mary Helen, just to get started, would you tell me where and when you were born and where you lived as a child?
I was born in Louisville, June 28th, 1907. Where I was born was the Weisinger Gulf Apartments, a building which is now torn down, the old one. I've lived here all my life. My grandparents lived here all their lives. My mother lived here all her life. And my great-grandparents came in 1847.
Do you know where they came from?
Yes.
And how they picked Louisville?
I think that they came from Bavaria, Hessen-Darmstadt or something. I have that in a paper which at this point is misplaced. My great-grandfather, I know, landed in the port of New Orleans. He didn't have very much money with him, something like $5. And he managed to get findings and such, and he walked from there up to Kentucky. There's a little town which isn't even on the map anymore, doesn't exist, but it was near Henderson. And that's where he settled, and that's where he met my great-grandmother. And then they decided to come to Louisville to live. And a first cousin of his named Bamberger, and he founded a dry goods business, wholesale dry goods business, which grew to be the largest wholesale dry goods business in the South. It was called Bamberger and Bloom. My great-grandfather died in 1887. And then, I guess his two sons, Levi Bloom and Max Bloom, went down to work there, and eventually the business failed and was dissipated. It was at 7th and Main.
Is the building still there?
No.
It's gone.
Fort Nelson is there and whatever.
Now you say the name was Bloom.
B-L-O-O-M.
All right, and your maiden name was Adler, right?
Adler. My father came from Chicago in 1904 and founded the Adler Manufacturing Company, which was at 29th and Chestnut. It manufactured four Sears Roebuck for their catalog, organs and pianos. I have a picture of one of the first organs that they made. It's on exhibit in Jackson, Mississippi, where the plant was eventually moved. My father was born in 1865, my mother in 1880. But my father met my mother after he came to Louisville, and they married in 1906.
Now, did you have any brothers or sisters?
One brother named John C. Adler, John Cyrus Adler. My father's name was Cyrus Lincoln Adler. And my brother doesn't live here now. He lives in Berkeley, California. He's a writer, a research man.
What eventually happened with the company?
Adler Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. My father sold his interest in 1918 to Sears Roebuck and Company, but stayed on until 1928 when he had planned to retire, but he died just prior to that date.
Okay, can we kind of go back to your childhood? You said that you were born in the Weisinger Gulbert.
That's right.
So your parents had an apartment there, right?
Right.
Okay. Did you spend most of your school years there?
No. My father always said we were squatters. We had many rented homes. We had one up on in the Highlands. We lived in Kensington Court. And then we lived on 3rd and Third Street. One house was between Hill and Vernon on Third, and one at Third and Magnolia. And then my father bought a house in Castlewood, which had belonged to Brainerd Lemon, but he never had any pleasure because shortly after we bought it and remodeled it, he died.
Where did you go to school?
I was in an accelerated class called the Opportunity Class, and which we did 5 weeks, 5 years work in 3.5 years. And then I spent my...
Where was that?
It was up at the so-called normal school, up on Broadway, just above Barrett. I taught the teachers.
Now you're talking about after high school, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, this was high school.
No, this was
our grammar school, elementary school.
And then I went to collegiate school, Louisville Collegiate School, for 4 years prior to going to Vassar, where I got my AB degree.
In the various neighborhoods that you lived, would you say that most of the people or the areas you lived were particularly Jewish or not particularly Jewish? Were you the only Jewish family in several blocks or?
Oh no, there were scattered Jewish families. There were some very beautiful homes in the block that we lived in the two blocks, one from Hill to Burnett and one from Magnolia to Park. People like the Oscar Finleys and Coy family, K-A-Y-E. Many, many, many very prominent families. But we had a wonderful time. They had sidewalks and we could skate, play, and...
Park, now that's right around Central Park, is that right?
Yes. Well, it runs from 3rd to 6th or 7th.
Of your childhood friends, girlfriends, have you... Are there still many of those here in Louisville?
All of us married in Louisville.
All of you stayed in Louisville.
Yeah.
Were your friends, your social contacts, were they generally Jewish or mixed with non-Jewish?
Mixed with non-Jewish, and especially at collegiate school.
Oh.
But... You don't care about the names of the people.
No, not except ones that, you know, we could relate to or maybe give us, you know, further information.
Well, one of my friends was Mildred Starr, whose mother was my mother's friend, whose grandmother was a bridesmaid in my grandmother's wedding. Dr. Starr's sister, she was. Carolyn Sluss, whose mother was a friend of my mother's and whose grandmother was a friend of my grandmother's, and that family goes way back. Donnie Greenbaum, who was a little older than I, but whose parents were all within the group. And I would say they all went to the same temple that I went to, the Jewish people.
That would be my next question.
Out of Israel. My grandfather was president of the congregation when they moved into their building. And the congregation gave him a very handsome silver service and tray at the end of his presidency, and it's engraved.
Excuse me just a minute. This is Grandfather Bloom?
No. That's great-grandfather.
Oh.
This is Grandfather Goldsmith, who was the one person that didn't come from Louisville. He came from Cincinnati. He was born there. But he moved to Louisville. But they were people of stature, good citizens. I always treasure the thought that my father and Mrs. Deshay Breckenridge from Lexington, D-E-S-H-A, used to ride around the state in a horse and buggy to set up the first tuberculosis clinics. That was, of course, many years ago. He died in 1928. But civic activity was a heritage for us.
Would you tell me some of the organizations or agencies that you or your mother or father were actively worked for, worked with their interests? I know you've always been very active.
Well, my mother was one of the first board members, on the first board of the League of Women Voters, when women got the vote. She was active in the Consumers League. She was extremely active in the Red Cross during World War I. Soup kitchens and all the other activities. And as a child, our little group of friends used to make bandages and wash rags and things. God help the people that used them, but we made them when we had our little club meetings. And that was, I was, 10 years old when our country entered World War II.
Was your father actively involved in civic?
In sale of war bonds and liberty bonds, they called them. He was active in the Jewish agencies for relief. I remember that we were taught never to leave anything on our plate because we had to help the starving Armenians when they were so desperately attacked, I think, by the Turks at that period of time. But we always had our little jobs to do for whatever civic endeavors were going. And of course, in my lifetime, I've been active in politics, democratic politics, and I attribute it all to my activity in the League of Women Voters, because through that group I learned so much how important it is to be not just critical of government, but try to understand it and help take part in a party, a movement for better government.
Okay, you mentioned, well, I see where the heritage comes from with being, actively involved. You mentioned before that you all belong to, that your parents, contemporaries, their friends, all belong to one synagogue, Adith Israel. Were they active? Your grandfather, you said, was
very active in the temple. And my great-grandfather.
And were your parents also?
My father was, to a certain extent.
Was there
the same for my mother?
Excuse me.
Doing general things like the League of Women Voters and the Consumers League.
Was there any sort of religious school or education then as our children have it now?
None.
So
we went to Sunday school. We hated it.
That hasn't changed, has it?
No. but it's much more interesting now than it was.
But you did have regular Sunday school.
Oh, yes, regular. We went every Sunday morning. And there was confirmation. My husband was confirmed, but I was never confirmed because my mother thought I was only doing it to get presents, so she didn't allow me to be.
Was there much social life or social activity or centered around the synagogue?
No. No. We used to have dances at the YMHA. I was never active there in any of their programs, but there were clubs that the boys belonged to, and I guess the girls, I don't know, I didn't.
You did not?
No.
Did you go to dances there?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That were given?
Or at the club, either one.
Well, the club, you're talking about the Standard Club.
That's right.
Was that still downtown at that time?
It was downtown for quite a while, but I was very young then, I would say between 12 and 16. And then we, when the big clubhouse burned, I think it did, up on the hill, they made the golf club into the general club, and that's where our dances were held.
Now, was that when it was on River Road?
Yes, which is now the River Road Country Club.
Right. Right, and then your social life as a teenager then sort of revolved around that?
Yes.
Let me think, I would like to know, were your friends, the people you grew up with, pretty much people in the same area?
Yes.
Living in the same area I'm talking
yes.
about. Girls and boys.
We moved to the Highlands in 1924. Up till that time, we lived in the southern part of the city on 3rd Street. And that pretty much held for most of us.
So most of your, the people
contacts
that you was...
and friends, that's right, were down there. Kensington Court, Reeser Place, and different houses in the areas. I went to Cochran School until I went into this special class.
And then you were still downtown then, and then you went to collegiate.
I was downtown the whole time I was in grammar school and high school. When we moved, I went to basketball.
Oh, I see. That's when you went away to college. Mm-hmm. And what did you do transportation-wise as far as getting
walk.
To school?
Walk? To the normal school. To the normal school, we had a driving group.
And what about to collegiate?
Well, walk. It was on Ormsby between...
Oh, this was before collegiate moved.
And 6th. Mm-hmm. I graduated from that building.
Was there...
It was wonderful because we were completely independent. And when we wanted to go downtown, we walked over to 4th Street. And for a nickel, we went on the streetcar. And one Saturday morning, I had to go down to do an errand. Some errands for my mother. And I only made 3 trips before I was through because I forgot something each time. So it cost me... She gave me the first nickel, and it cost me 10 cents. More than that, the trip back to
back and forth. And the streetcar went up, as I recall, 2nd Street.
No, it went up 4th Street too.
Went up 4th too. Yeah.
I grew up over in Central Park. I thought the hill was very high there.
And the lions and the colonnade.
Oh yeah, I loved them. We used to walk over from 3rd Street down from Hill down to or Magnolia to the park, and then we would skate there and play there. We had a wonderful time.
I remember hearing at times, did you ever hear about or go or see or spend any time at the old YMHA camp?
Never. I went to Maine camp.
Every summer? To a girls' camp?
Yes.
Now, did other girls from Louisville go with you there?
Yes. Laura Neuberger, ish, was at the camp I went to. And one year, Esther Seligman, she was married and lives in New Rochelle, went. But that was a great experience. Those were good days.
Must have taken you a while to get there, didn't it? Would you go by train?
Yes. We didn't know anything different, so we were perfectly happy. In fact, we thought the trains were larks. I still do.
Well, if they would only stay, I think they're sort of like the dinosaur. They're becoming extinct.
If they would only put some money in them, it would solve a lot of transportation problems.
Now, it's a group of girls, like, say, when you were in high school. Did you go on Saturday and go to lunch and go downtown?
Oh, yeah. To the movies, we went to the Majestic. Or we went to the Strand for the Mary Anderson. And we'd go to Miss Jenny Benedict's and get a sandwich and a chocolate soda. She had wonderful chocolate sodas. I never went downtown to shop with my mother, but I didn't get a chocolate soda at Miss Jenny Benedict. That was a real hub for all young people.
Where was that?
It was on 4th Street between Guthrie and Chestnut. on the west side of the street, just above where W.K. Stewart's has been. And the Benedictine sandwich originated there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right. She was a lovely lady who was did cater parties too. Oh, there was another one, of course, where the Brown Hotel is, called Salger's, which was a very, very famous caterer. And it had ice cream sodas and such, and candy. And we loved that.
Can you tell me, is there anything that you can recall in your education, in your background, any episodes or anything that you could categorize as being particularly Jewish? Anything about your education or or upbringing?
I don't brag about it, but there wasn't.
There was not?
No.
Were you ever made aware or made uncomfortable because you were in school or?
I had a few incidents in my school life. Never as I remember it did I have any in grammar school. One little incident at collegiate school, which I pretty well settled myself, between my very defendant and myself. Several times when I was ambassador, there were remarks made, and I always stopped and called attention to the people that made their brilliant generalizations and explained to them that I didn't feel they were capable of judging who was Jewish and who wasn't. Obviously, they wouldn't have made the remark they did had they thought they would hurt me. And I wanted to know, and I didn't even care how embarrassed they were. I thought it was just the right minute to say it. And I have never had any problems as an adult. Although, I recognized as a young person that there were barriers and accepted them, which is the only thing a person can do, I think. Such as membership in certain other clubs. But I was never anything but proud of my Jewish religion. It has been very meaningful to me, although I don't, I'm not a obviously Jewish in my practice. I don't attend temple very often, but when I do, it's meaningful service. I always have a prayer book at home, and if I'm not at temple during services that I would like to be, I read the service myself, and I find comfort in it. And I know a lot of people that don't, but I always felt that the Reform Judaism made so few demands on the congregation that they were apt to be lax. The Catholics made tremendous demands, and they weren't lax. And since they've loosened up, they have the same thing. People are apt not to go to church. That's just my own theory.
Interesting analogy. When you were growing up, when you were dating, did the subject of ever dating?
I never dated non-Jewish boys, except maybe at college or when I was out of town. I didn't hear at all.
Do you think this was because of the situation? Do you think your parents would have allowed you to?
Oh, yes.
They would have.
Yes, there was never anything of that sort in my family. I don't know what would have happened had I come to them and said I was going to marry a non-Jewish boy. I doubt that they would have had any approach except to be sure that I recognized that there might be some problems which we have to face.
But
I was reared in a very liberal thinking family. I never have seen color in my life. Black, red, or green would mean nothing to me in the way of a person. And I had a very strong, wonderful influence in my life in the person of Mrs. Max Adler from Chicago. Her brother was Julius Rosenwald, who early on did marvelous things for the black people. Not the way it would be today, because today he would never have built 40,000 schools in the South through the Rosenwald Foundation. But then he built good schools and had good school teaching for people that hadn't had any at that time. But Mrs. Adler...
Excuse me just a minute. Was this Mrs. Adler related to you?
Yes, her husband was. My father's first cousin and closest friend. And she was a tremendous human being with a very great knowledge of art and music. And her thinking was so free as far as people were concerned. And it influenced me tremendously when I was quite young. And we were very closest friends, even though there was 30 or more years difference in our ages. And I had marvelous experiences through my lifetime with her.
Are there any other reminiscences or episodes that you can recall that you would like to preserve for posterity?
No.
When were you married?
I was married in 1931 on the 27th of June. It would be 46 years this June. And I was married to a wonderful citizen, a wonderful man, Dan C. Bick, who I guess was as good a public servant as we've ever had. There's never a day that someone doesn't mention him to me and wish that he were here, which is as much immortality as I know.
True.
We were married for a month less than 29 years. Very proud, happy years in my life. He was responsible for so many good things happening in this community. He was the first president of the Lowell Orchestra, though he was not musical himself. He realized how important cultural development was for our community. Became interested in music because of his exposure to it. And really was critical, able to be critical, which is a tremendous thing. He served on the Board of Aldermen for 6 years, and they were good years. Charlie Farnsley was the mayor. He was president of the orchestra 3 times. He was honored by the indefinite numbers of organizations, amongst others the Conference of Christians and Jews. He was active in that organization. He chaired the drive for the new Jewish Community Center, and they had a very successful drive, as you know. He was always active in what was then called the Community Chest, and indefinite other things. And it's hard for me to remember all of them. I could if I stopped to think.
Well, he was also president of the Standard Club, was he not?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And he was acting mayor for a while.
Many times. But when Mayor Taylor died, he was acting mayor until they got Mr. Farnsley as success. But we had a mutual understanding about activity. I was a gardener, and I was terribly active in the League of Women Voters. Though I was on the board for 12 years, worked in the state organizing other leagues. Though during the war, World War II, when he wanted to go in the Army and at 42 had no chance of being drafted, I took over the store so that he could go. we made up our mind that would be our wartime contribution. Of course, nobody lost money during the war. You made profit. And then after that, I was put on the board of the local auction. I was president of that for 5 years. So that orchestra is very much a part of my life as it was of his.
It became a part of your children's life, too.
Yes. We were terribly careful not to push music on them, but they all love it and understand it, which is gratifying. And I've worked all my life. I'm lucky now. After my husband died, I took over the presidency of the store at his request until our son Dan and our son-in-law Steve had 3 or 4 years experience, because they'd just been here a year when my husband died. And then I went chairman of the board, and I'm the privileged character. They do all the work.
That's not what they say.
Well, they're lovely about it. I love people, and I feel very dedicated, and I'm a very nosy person. I want to see that good things happen in this community, and I realize they don't just happen. You have to go ahead and work toward it. As I said, I've been an active Democrat. I've been Democratic National Committee woman for 8 years, and I'm still interested, very much interested in the caliber of our candidates, and to be able to influence that caliber, that quality, you have to be contributing to campaigns, and you have to be standing for the things that the Democratic Party has stood for.
Life, and you say that a great deal of that influence came from your mother, who started with the League of Women Voters.
Right.
Was your father or your grandfather, were they also active in politics?
No, never that I know of. Not that I know of. I never heard that they were. My father died when I was 20. Almost 21.
So that interest came from the distaff side of the family.
Yes, and I don't know. I still attribute it more, rather than influence, more of the fact that I was just out of college when I was asked to be the secretary of the National Convention of the League of Women Voters, which is held in Louisville. And I served as that with never having gone to business school, 3 weeks of typing, for 6 months, and met all the most prominent women in this country who were thinking in terms of good government. And that played a very strong part in my life, and I identified with the League from then on. And we learned, in those days it was really a learning situation where you learned government and child welfare, government and foreign policy, and so forth. And you had to study. It didn't come easy.
Did your mother belong to, you said she belonged to the League of Women Voters and the Red Cross. Did she belong to?
Which fought very hard for the working women, working people that worked for minimum wage and in the very earliest days.
Did she belong to any organizations like National Council of Jewish Women or the Jewish Ladies Benevolent Society?
No,
or
but the National Council, and I'm sure the Sisterhood. I'm sure she belonged to both of those.
And can you think of any organizations that your father belonged to?
That's just the fact that I don't know. I know I told you about his work with the Tuberculosis Association, and I know that he raised money for whatever the United Jewish Appeal was at that time. He and Mr. E.S. Tackaw and Mr. Ed Sachs used to work together on contributions for that. I remember that. But I don't know about the other things. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I did. But he died before I could really talk those things with
him. Well, I really appreciate your talking with me. If there's anything else you'd like me to...
I hope that you will have the opportunity of seeing these articles that I've given you, because they do go back and touch on personalities of the times, early times in Louisville. which my great-grandfather was very active here. And,
let me get the titles of those on tape. One is an article about Nathan Bloom in the Courier Journal of May 14th, 1916.
Though he died in 1887.
And the other is a paper written by whom?
My great uncle, my great great grandfather's son, Levi Bloom, L-E-V-I Bloom, who gave this paper. I'm not sure whether he gave it to the Pendennis Club at a meeting. He was a charter member of the Pendennis Club. Or whether it was made given before the Filson Club, but it was his reminiscences from the time he was a little boy. He died in 1944 when he was 90.
Was he still a member of the Pendennis Club at that time?
I should say.
Okay. I thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, if I can answer any more questions, let me know.
Okay.
My great-grandparents lived on 4th Street in the area which is over the Rathgeller of what was the Sealback Hotel. And they moved from there, as I remember, to 6th and Broadway. And that's where our temple was at that time, 6th and Broadway on the southeast corner. It later became a Methodist church and then was taken down. And then they built a house. I think Whitestone built it. Very famous architect. Out on 4th Street, where the Puritan apartments are now standing. And they lived there until my great-grandmother died. I think it was 1911. It was eventually torn down and Puritan was built there. Next door to them was the Miller family. And young Miss Miller married Robert Worth Bingham. And the present Barry Bingham Sr. was their son. Those two properties, I think, were the ones used to build the Puritan on. My great-grandfather was terribly interested in baseball, and I think there's a very cute story about that. There was the name of a park is in the article I've given you about him. And he used to go when he could, and he always did one thing. He made a circle tour around the park to find all the little mouthful kids, and he would take them in to see the game. And I love that little anecdote, and it's in the paper.
In the article that you've given me.
Yes. Now, he died in 1887, so the place, the time that baseball park existed.
Okay, very good.